Hello everyone, and welcome to the First Income Advisor's One Superb Sales Idea Monthly Call. I'm Brian Gangler. I'm joined today with my partner, Mr. Mike Starenka. Mike, how are you?
I am fantastic.
It's got to be warm and sunny where you are, I would expect.
Yeah, 75 and sunny, yes.
So we've got quite a 100-degree difference between where you're at and I'm at, but
it's really 80 degrees here. So
so we're pushing close to a 100-degree difference. Well, we're surviving. I know you're surviving, enjoying the nice warm weather. I've got a great topic. We had a request from some of our top producers to talk about today. But, you know, first off, Mike, we're coming off the heels of, you know, I say this a lot, but I think it was our best quarterly coaching program. We had almost 100 advisors in attendance. We had a couple of great guest speakers to add value to our advisors. We went through a role-playing, first appointment, second appointment, role-playing exercise the guys loved, and we closed it with a planning session on what to do over the next 3 months, which of course jumpstarts the year. But any thoughts for this group on that quarterly session, the advanced coaching and feedback you heard from our advisors?
Well, I just heard it was the best one ever, you know. So I think we're getting better at this, and the size of the crowd shows that more advisors than ever are looking at the income approach as the way to get really deep relationships with clients.
You know, more and more advisors come back with significant gains in their, you know, production year over year. 50%, 80%, 100%, 200% gains, and they do attribute it to the quarterly coaching program, you know, coming back for a day and a half every 3 months to get off their business treadmill and work on their business versus working in their business. So I would echo your assessment that we're getting better and it's working. So I'm excited for that.
Yep.
So let's talk about, and this is one of the topics at the quarterly coaching that I want to discuss today. And it was at the core of what you did on the retail side for all the years, and it's probably been the biggest mover of the needle for our advisors, and that's how to show clients they have a problem. And, you know, I'm doing coaching calls every day with advisors, a lot of times brand new to us, and everybody else is out there. We were at an offsite meeting a couple of weeks ago. Everybody else is out there pitching upside potential, no downside risk. Stock market gains with a floor. You know, what's your CD paying? We can do, you know, 100, 200 basis points better. And they're all highlighting the indexing strategies.
Right.
And we now know that a lot of those indexing strategies aren't performing as the companies highlighted. So before we get into the problem, give me a little bit of your perspective. I know that wasn't something you typically sold, correct? Upside potential of the market, no downside risk?
Right. I personally never sold it.
And so if you're not selling that to, you know, Bob's and Sally's, husbands and wives as they sit down in front of you, what are you solving for them? How are you creating a problem, and then how are you solving the problem?
Well, we create the problem is right there in front of you, and once you identify the problem, it's so much easier to make the sale versus saying upside potential, no downside risk, because, you know, that's subjective. We were at a meeting recently, you and I, and there was several other FMO owners like ourselves, and, you know, we talked about the discussion of some of those products that were designed, and they had no track record. They had no, the back testing is all BS. And, you know, if you're hanging your hat on that you're somebody's going to get 6, 7, 8% out of one of those annuities, and you end up getting 1 or 2%, that's not good. The way we did it in my firm is we looked at the problem, which I believe for everyone retiring, whether they have 1 million, 10 million, or 20 million, or 5 million, is income. You know, how much income is being generated? And then how much income is being generated from guaranteed sources? And not many people have income being generated from guaranteed sources. Then we say, okay, well, how much income do you need? How much do you have? What's the difference? And most people need additional income from their assets. And that's why we position the annuity as essentially like the new pension. And then we do the what if scenario. What if he dies first? What if she dies first? And then the problem becomes very glaring. And there's that income cliff that we've talked about where the average American's income for a married couple goes down anywhere from 35% to 70% at the loss of the first spouse. And that's a huge drop in income. And most people, when you show them that, they're like, wow, I didn't know it was that bad. And it's like anything else. Do you remember what movie tickets cost 20 years ago, Brian?
They were probably like a buck and a quarter.
That might have been 40 years ago. 20 years ago, they were probably $2 or $3, you know. You know what they are today?
I haven't been to a movie lately. How much are they?
I go to movies all the time. I'm going to have ask that. I'll have to ask myself the question. They're probably about $15 for a movie ticket today. So I don't know what inflation's going to be. I just know that things are going to cost more. You know, a gallon of gas, a loaf of bread, you name it. Ad infinitum, things are going to cost a little bit more. So if you have $100,000 of income now, but it goes down $60,000 at the death of the first spouse, and let's say that happens and the surviving spouse lives 20 more years, that's $1.2 million of lost income, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, what would $40,000 spend like 20 years from now? Well, if we use the movie ticket thing, it would be, you know, 1/4 of that. So the $40,000 would spend like $10,000 today. You know, you start looking at things in that perspective and you say, wow, we got a potential huge problem. And so solving for the income shows it. And, you know, your discussions with clients are just different than a regular financial advisor that talks about portfolio allocation and beta and risk and all this, or someone just trying to sell an annuity, is it upside potential, no downside risk. I mean, God bless them for trying to do that, but I just don't think it works. I don't think that's what people are looking for. They're looking for solutions. And when you can make it solutions-based selling, it takes the guesswork out of it.
So you talked about two really important things there. Number one, you know, I've heard you refer to it as the income gap. And that's, you know, if Sue and I are looking to retire in 2, 3, 4 years, and we've done the role play on, you know, how much do you want per month. But have you ever run into situations where people want, you know, $10,000 or $12,000 or $15,000 a month, but when you do the assessment on the income for life report, the income gap, the only income that they have is Social Security?
Yeah, you see that a lot. You see it a ton. And so what they need is they need a mountain of other income coming from their investments. The only difference is Are investments guaranteed?
Of course not.
Of course not. So when that's why when we do the income for life, I always like to put just guaranteed income sources. Now, we're never going to put all the money in annuities, but we're going to put enough in so they're guaranteed income sources are enough to meet their needs, you know. You know, it's at this stage of your life, are you more inclined for a sure thing or a maybe? And when people are getting ready to retire, they don't want a maybe. Because if the maybe doesn't work, their plan B is they have to go back to work. If you're a 70-year-old person and you've been retired for 5 years, what's the likelihood you'll get another job?
Not very likely.
And what's the likelihood it's going to be paying enough money?
Not very likely.
If you're hiring someone in corporate America, would you be more inclined to hire someone who's 40 or 70?
40, of course.
Why?
Well, because they're cheaper and they're going to be around for a lot longer.
Exactly. So the plan B is not much of a plan. So if you retire right the first time, you never have to re-retire.
So you always highlight the income gap of what we want versus what we have. The second one that you talked about is the income cliff.
Right.
And that's when the primary breadwinner dies?
Yeah, or the first, mainly when there's generally a bigger loss when one of the two dies. In very rare situations, maybe 15% of the time, the gap is very similar. But most of the times, it's a little bit bigger. Why? Because and not to be sexist, but men used to make a lot more than women, and so they had higher social securities in some cases, and they might have been in the workforce longer because they weren't raising the kids and the family, and so they had access to pension plans, and so the pension plan a lot of times is on the male, and it generally goes down 50% when someone dies. So when you lose the lower of the two social securities and half of the pension, it can be a sizable amount.
And I heard you use the statistics, you know, 35 to 65, whatever the top number was. But, I mean, isn't there always a decrease? Because best case, I always lose one of the social securities, don't I?
Yeah, that's correct.
And what are some of the extremes? Because I know you and I have talked about this in the past. Some of the extremes that you'd seen in your past.
I saw 130,000 go down to 19,000.
Wait a minute, 130,000
go to 19,000.
How could that be?
Because he had a big pension and had a zero survivor benefit on it.
And how did the wife react when you showed that?
She was not happy. And what we ended up doing was buying a very large life insurance policy on his life that would mimic what he should have selected as a survivor benefit on the pension. So when he dies, she'll essentially get about 70,000, 75,000. So not 130, but not 19, you know.
So in your appointment process, what percent of the time did you illustrate the problem of the income gap, and what percent of the time did you illustrate the income cliff when I die?
100%.
Okay.
100%. All the time. Because most people don't have enough, or they might have enough assets, but no one's ever shown them the income story. So when you show them, hey, you have enough assets, if they're positioned properly, you might be the first person that's ever told them that, or position it in such a way that it's believable and makes them take action, which can create really a sense of urgency because, you know, people want to be able to retire. If you can show them how to safely retire and they never have to work again, they're going to be all over that.
So, very often, Mike, I have conversations with new advisors to us, and they all talk about, you know, differentiating themselves from the competition. How do I separate myself? I've got 5 other advisors in my town. I've got 10 other advisors. I've got 3 other advisors in my town. I know in your area there was a ton of competition, but using this process of the income gap, the income cliff, the income for life software, how important was that to separating yourself of what your firm did versus the competition?
It allowed me to bring in $50 million a year in new assets to my firm every single year for about 15 years versus 100 other guys that were trying to live off my scraps. So
I take it it was important?
Yeah. I mean, yes. And the thing is, as you start doing this, your ticket size just keeps growing. I mean, my last several years of doing it, my average annuity sale was close to $1 million. You know, and like our best guys, their average annuity ticket's $500,000. You know, I mean, everybody needs $500,000 to $1 million of annuities. Just about every American that has money. And just about every American that has money will end up buying an annuity for at least $500,000 to $1 million. They just will. So are they going to buy it from you or somebody else? And if you position it correctly using the income approach, they're going to get it from you. And people that have money hang around with other people that have money. And people just start talking, you know, and you'll become the guy. I became the guy in Annapolis, Maryland. You know, so, I mean, it's there. The opportunity's there. I mean, if you want to differentiate yourself and you want to move $50 million a year or more, I mean, our number one guy last year, what did he move? $50
million? 50, yep.
Yep. And how much was annuities? How much was AUM?
It was almost a 50-50 split.
Yeah, very common. You know, I did about $40 million of annuities and did about $10 to $15 million of AUM. But, you know, that was me because I went for the low-hanging fruit and went back to get the AUM at a later date. But, you know, yep, the opportunity's there.
The other thing we wanted to talk about, and you kicked it off, was the sense of urgency. Isn't there a sense of urgency created when I illustrate the problem versus selling a safe money alternative, you know, fixed
it should be. I would drive a truck to that because they could walk out your door tomorrow and never come back, meaning somebody could die, you know, and all of a sudden the income goes way down. I mean, you got to show them these things. You got to disturb them. You got to say, hey, look, are you okay with your income going from $100,000 down to $38,000? If you're okay, I'm okay. It's your money. I'm just an advisor. But if you're not okay, if you wanted to stay at $100,000 forever, there's a couple things we could do, but we're going to have to do it a little different than you're doing it now. Are you open to that? Who's going to say, no, I'm not open to keeping my income level or growing each year for the rest of my life?
Only a foolish person.
That's right. That's right.
So income gap, income cliff is where it's at. Safe money alternatives, upside potential is not the road to go down. It's something you identified in your practice and you stuck to it. And I know you did it 100% of the time. And that's one of the reasons why you know, you had such a successful practice. So for everybody on the call today, we've got two things that I want to send to you. And you got to give us a call to get them, 888-556-1379, 888-556-1379. We've got two Income for Life examples that we want to get out to you. One is for married couples showing the income gap, and the second one is for married couples showing the income cliff. It's a sales tool that all of our top advisors are using. They're using it to generate sales. They're using it to get away from the upside potential conversation, to illustrate the problem, which will create the urgency, which will increase your business. So if you'd like those two Income for Life reports, give us a call at 888-556-1379, 888-556-1379. When you're on the phone with our sales consultants, we've got a couple of coaching classes, one this month and one next month coming up. So if you want to participate, if you're really looking to grow your practice, you need to come to our coaching class. So, Mike, any final words as I sign off?
Well, just that those two sheets that you're handing out, the two examples, if someone's brand new to this whole dialogue that we're talking about, they will be amazed when they put those figures in front of somebody. And I can tell you what's going to happen. The prospect is going to say, what do my numbers look like? And can you run a scenario for me? And that's the hook, man. It's the best hook ever. The best hook ever I've ever seen. So
it's a powerful question to say, Mike, would you like to see your numbers? Which, of course, yeah. The answer is yes.
Yes. Everybody wants to see their numbers. Yep.
Perfect. Great call, Mike. I appreciate your time again for everybody. 888-556-1379. Give us a call. The phone lines are now open.